The automated marine forecast channel blurts out its robotic voice in Chip Ziner's work garage. It's 5:30 in the morning, and outside it's still dark, the sky shimmering with liquid stars. Inside the garage, Chip and his first mate, Tim Yonashot, try to revive themselves with sips of coffee, drags from their cigarettes, and bites of peanut butter crackers. After a short talk about the day's weather, the three of us hop in Chip's old pickup truck and head to the pier at Cape Porpoise, Maine, a sleepy town on the far southern coast. Lobsters are caught around the world, but with nowhere near the volume seen along Maine's rugged coastline. Last year, 128 million pounds of the tasty crustaceans were taken. At the Cape, Chip paddles a punt out to his boat, the Helen D, while Tim attaches the day's bait, a 55-gallon drum of foul-smelling fish parts, onto a crane, lowers it onto the boat's deck. He and I climb aboard and we're off, the sun just coming up, turning the overcast sky a creamy gray. Creeping out of the harbor, we soon reach open water, Helen D's four-cylinder diesel engine pushing us through the 3-foot swells on our way to lobster grounds known as the Goose Rocks. Chip and Tim strap on their oilskins. To keep their hands warm in the chill of early morning, they rub them up and down the exhaust pipe that runs up through the open-air cabin. Every lobsterman has his own pots, identified by a specific colored buoy. We're about a mile offshore, and Chip pulls the boat alongside one of his pots and, with a long hook, snatches the rope attached to the buoy, wrapping it around a hydraulic wheel to lift the pot from the ocean floor. Once it's up, Tim hoists the pot onto the starboard rail, opens the cage, and the two men sort through the lobsters. They snap their tails in protest, claws wide open and raised, ready to latch onto anything. In one part, a large female sits like a monstrous, alien-looking creature, dwarfing the five other lobsters in the cage. She's already clawed one almost in half, its white flesh bulging out the sides of a cracked shell.
Get by that, you'll be going home.
Lobsters are measured from their eyes to the end of their thorax, sometimes with a special tool, but mostly just by sight. Anything over or under a specified size is released. The rest have their claws rubber-banded and are tossed into a barrel of seawater. More are let go than taken. Chip says it's like throwing money overboard, but keeping a healthy lobster population ensures a sustainable harvest. Pots are rebaited and sunk to the ocean floor. It happens over and over, hundreds of times every morning. The hours float by, Tim and Chip working more by habit than anything else. The routine is ingrained in both of them. Chip is 51 and began fishing and lobstering almost 40 years ago. Tim, 10 years younger, has also been out in the open water for decades. It's cold out here. The wind picks up and a thin, steady rain pelts us. The open sea is like the desert. There's nothing to stop the wind. The work is hard enough, but lobstermen, especially in this part of Maine, don't get paid as much as you might think. Where you might pay $14.95 for a 2-pound lobster, Chip gets paid about $2 for it. The reason? Middlemen have jacked up the market price but haven't raised the pay for the men who harvest the creatures. Chip tries to get around it by selling lobsters out of a shack on his front lawn. It makes things a bit easier on the pocketbook, but the state of things frustrates both men. There is no union or representation. Tim talks about one middleman in particular.
He goes down to one of them islands every year for a month every winter. Well, I just buy a new pair of gloves to keep my hands warm.
Another pot comes up, this one full of lobsters with half their shells eaten away in a rusty, odd-shaped pattern. Chip says he's seeing this phenomenon more and more. Thinks it's due to the chemicals that the well-to-do who have homes along the shoreline are spraying on their lawns. Pesticides that leach into the ocean and affect the lobster's growth cycle.
And this is what happens. It's, you know, there's something definitely eating away at this lobster, you know.
By noon, the big drum of seawater is about full of lobsters, around 300 pounds or so. We make way for the Cape, and once there, Chip and Tim load their catch into floating cages with a few dead fish thrown into each one. If the fish weren't included, the lobsters would cannibalize each other, Tim says.
Nasty creatures, man.
Oh, yeah. You throw you down on the bottom, they'll eat your ass just as they eat that. No problem.
Now settled back onto terra firma, the men grab cold cans of Bud and sip to another day's work completed. Chip will sell lobsters from the shack for most of the afternoon, talk to tourists, maybe even crack open a few of his own lobsters to eat himself. It's challenging work, he says, but often he doesn't see it as work at all. It's a kind of freedom.
Like some people that go into the lobster business, they do it for a year or two and they just get out of it because, you know, it's not worth it to them. It's too much work for what they're getting out of it, you know. But if that's what you are, is a lobsterman, and that's all that you've ever been, you know, it probably seems not as much work.
For WMUK, I'm Chris Killian.